Exactly. So probably that's why the lion is probably the king of the jungle. Yeah. And then it's not about him being the fastest.
It's the females he has around him. They are just chilling with his harem. Just there, like, look, I feel before dark humor became a thing, you know, that was the kind of humor I was into.
I was born in it.
That's the kind of humor I was into. But people never kind of got it. They're like, oh, why are you so... You just seem so dark.
By the time I was a man, it wasn't even dark anymore. It was just comedy.
What is your super villain power?
I think I might have asked the question wrong. I'm so sorry, guys. What is your super villain power? Let's start over.
I mean, where there are people that are just their villains.
Don't even sleep with the pillowcase. I literally, I'm on the ground. Like, I'm on the ground sleeping. I eat once a week, my nigga. Yeah, but that guy got shot nine times.
Have you pressed record?
Yes, I have pressed record.
Okay.
But imagine if I didn't press record.
Though. No, I always look now.
You always look now?
I always look
like
now.
There's always that tendency.
Yes, first of all, I said, look, if I can't see clearly, I'm like...
This nigga press. Have we done an episode where we just didn't press record? We probably have, right?
Yes, no. That time Toxie was here.
Oh my God.
Man, finish the episode. Like, bro, didn't even record.
They record, but it was a lovely conversation.
And he's just like, wait. Maybe we can just manage. Actually, the audio from the phones is not that bad at times. I mean, you can manage it.
Just manage the audio from the phone.
People know.
Anyways. What's good, guys? Welcome back to the GHG podcast, Granite Henny, and just... life is hard, bro. You know? Life is just hard, bro. Can you imagine? I woke up this morning, and you know, I was just like, damn, I had to wake up and do shit, bro. That's crazy. Like, you know how frustrated I am. Like,
the problem is that you woke up because you had to do shit. Like, if you woke up and didn't do anything, that's fine. I saw a video once where a guy was explaining what men really want. And the guy was like, men want to be in a state of nothingness. So basically, what men really want is they want to get to the state where they don't have to do anything. But now, when we say we don't want to do anything, people are thinking, "Oh, what do you mean?" No, because this is me explaining further. Like, when we say we don't want to do anything, people think, "Oh no, we just want to wake up and just sit and not do anything." No, we want to do unproductive stuff.
Yeah,
we want to do stuff where it doesn't matter whether you're successful at it, whether it works out, whether it doesn't. Yeah, we just want to do unproductive shit. So that's why we want to be in that state of nothingness. I don't mean any disrespect to gamers, but playing game is doing unproductive shit.
It is unproductive shit. I'm sorry. Like,
if you're making money from playing it, that's fine.
That's a whole different conversation.
But if you're playing it leisurely, yeah, it's unproductive shit. It's kind of like watching the game. Go, oh, the game, the match is on. Unproductive shit.
If you didn't place any bets on that game,
unproductive. So,
because believe me, people are making a shit ton of money while you're there watching that game.
Yes, yes. I mean, but it's not everybody can't. Majority of people are just fans for being fans. You're just spending money being a fan. Understand? Yeah. So that, and that's the goal of every man. So you're trying to hustle and work till you get to that state in your life where. You know, you don't need to keep grinding that hard. Like, you probably have, you know, businesses that are bringing you income in. So you just have that money and you can use that money to do unproductive. It's kind of the same reason why women keep saying, oh, like, men, once, if your partner or your girlfriend or your wife, they tell you something, you want to fix that issue immediately. You don't want to dwell on it. Women like to dwell on problems. Men don't like to dwell on problems. And I was like,
instant fix.
Yes. And the reason we want to fix it is so that we can fix it and get back to doing unproductive shit.
Yeah. Because now you just, it's like, you know, I think a perfect example is, bears. Bears are like asleep for like pretty much, I think like almost like half of the year.
They just sleep.
They're literally asleep. They're just sleeping. They're not doing anything, right? They're just there. They conserve energy. Then they remain. But when they do wake up and go out to eat, bruh.
Kill everything in Japan.
Kill everything. You're like, okay, now I understand why you're asleep for half of the year. I understand. It's very important. Even when they say the king of the jungle, think about it. The king of the jungle, which I'm not sure why it's the lion. you know, it's not even the biggest or the fastest.
Because he has bitches to do what he does.
And I think the lion understands this concept you just mentioned.
Yeah.
The act of unproductiveness. I think he embodies it. It's like, yo, don't worry, I'm just gonna be here. Let the woman hunt for me.
Yes.
You know, I'm saying just get all these lionesses pregnant. That's all. It's like
exactly.
So probably that's why the lion is probably the king of the jungle. Yeah. It's not about him being the fastest, it's the
females he has around him.
Yeah, just chilling with his harem. He's just there, like just sitting at the top. I'm like, I saw a video where they were like with the other lionesses were massaging the main lion.
No
guys,
way.
I saw this shit. They're like, no someone way. Like licking his fur, someone like massaging. I'm like, this guy.
That's why he's the king. 100. No. Wow. Okay. So. Now, I've been getting a lot of feedback, you know, from some of our listeners, you know, and apparently they don't know shit about us, bro.
Oh,
they don't know shit about us. You know, it's weird. It's like they've been listening all the time. I'm like, who the fuck are these guys?
We started with audio podcast. So the video now, people probably don't know who we are.
Who are these guys? Yeah. Just guys who speak in English.
Speaking English.
You know, so let's give them a bit of background, right? Mm-hmm. And you just tell them a bit of our programming. I don't want to use the word upbringing. You know, I want to use programming. How are we programmed growing up? I think, you know, just so the fans can, the listeners can connect with us a little bit more, right? you want to go first? Where did you grow up? How did you grow up?
Man, okay, look. I grew up, look, you know how that theory where you just toss a child into the middle of the ocean and they learn how to swim.
Yes.
When he's trying to drown, that was how my upbringing was.
Thank you.
I was just thrown right into the middle of the ocean. Mm. It's like, you know.
You'll figure it out,
yeah. But grew up in Lagos. I mean, for people that don't know, we're in Nigeria, right? They should know we're in Nigeria.
Lagos, Nigeria. Everybody knows Lagos. Come on, Abba. Lagos, don't try. Everybody Lagos should know where Lagos is.
Yeah, so I grew up in Lagos. I got shipped off to war. When I mean war, I mean secondary school.
Oh, no. It's war. Go listen to boarding school Squid Games. Go listen to that episode.
Yeah, so it was primary school in Lagos. I mean, back then, you know, you can't remember much from, you know, your early childhood days, but, you know, primary school went by without a hitch. But I did get double promotion, I think. So I left from four, and then I went to boarding house. So me thinking,
what does double promotion mean? Just for some people that might not understand what double promotion.
Basically, you're supposed to leave from like six, but I went from early from four. But it was because the slot was open. It wasn't as if I was intelligent. Don't even talk about it. It was when I got there, I realized I got shipped off to war.
Yeah,
so I was enlisted.
You enlisted?
No, you
just got drafted.
Got drafted, bro. I was like, yo, I didn't realize I got drafted, because what happened in that for the next 4 years? What happened?
I think we've spoken about
there's
it.
There's an entire episode about it.
Yeah. So that was that. You know. So and that's what I mean when I say I was just tossed into the deep end. So I just had to learn. Just put you in a bunch of other people, much older people, because back then, people that went to colleges were like 15 years old, 16 year olds, instant. So imagine me at 7, 8 years old going to college. I missed all this 14 and 15 year olds. It was just, so yeah, so I just had to learn the hard way, learn how to. But yeah, I mean, but I also still believe that it's not just me. A lot of millennials, I like to say, experience the same thing. You understand?
I'd
agree. A lot of millennials experience the same thing.
Like, so, I had the same background. Oh,
yeah. I mean, so a lot of millennials experience, like, boarding school back then was training on how to survive Nigeria. You understand? If you went to boarding house, look, we didn't used to respect day students back then. It's now where, you know, obviously day students, people that come to school every day and go back.
Yeah.
No, we're boarding house. Like, boarding students didn't respect day students because you had it easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going home to see mama every day, right? Yeah. What are you talking about? I used to see my folks once a year, and that was during the December holiday. So I was living with my uncle. You understand? And, you know, it was just, because it was in Jos, it was kind of like, you know, where it was cold. Then Jos was really cold. So it was like, you know, you're living one far deep end with one of your relatives. And, you know, they have adapted to the situation. So they're kind of like training you how to adapt to the cold, how to survive and everything. So yeah, I didn't see my parents like once a year. I didn't see my family. Look, I literally grew up like a single, like an orphan. I'm not even playing with you.
Wildly.
Grew up like an orphan. Yeah, like up from 7 years old till like 12. Yeah, I had no siblings.
this is Joss. Joss is.
I mean, it's Joss is in the north, Lagos in the west. It's two different regions entirely. By road, it was like an 8-10 hour journey, maybe even more. You get so I didn't used to see them till we met in the villages and all that. So I kind of grew up without siblings, and you know, maybe that's why I'm so cold.
Are you cold? He's, what do you mean cold? Please,
I mean, you know, yeah. Elaborate. I mean, people have told me, like, honestly, yeah, I have this emotional side to me. Look, they said dark humor. You see how there's some people that can't resonate well with dark humor. Look, I feel before dark humor became a thing, you know, that was the kind of humor I was into.
I was born in it.
Yeah, that's the kind of humor I was into. But people never kind of got it. They're like, oh, why are you so... You just seem so dark.
By the time I was a man, it wasn't even dark anymore.
It was just comedy.
No. But I can completely relate. You're absolutely right. A lot of millennials kind of had that same background.
So yeah. But yeah, but no? let me finish up. So yeah. Well, yeah, you know, now to who I am now, gamer.
I like how that car comes first.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Zombie killer number one.
Yeah, four toes.
Four toes.
Talking about
four toes. So you kill these many zombies.
I play games, you know, still into tech and real estate, and now content creator.
And now content creator.
Well, no, this is leisure. I'm not a content creator. Look, I'm the host, I'm a guest. You are the content creator. I'm just here because apparently this is the shit people doing now.
Yes, this is what people doing
so
now.
So I'm like, all right, man, you know, I might as well get it. I'm just jump on that bandwagon. Like, yeah, you get on the train.
let's go.
But I think the reason we started is because there's this disconnect, like you said in the last episode.
Yeah.
Disconnect between the older generations and newer generations. I'm like, you know, maybe someone should explain this shit to these people.
We need to break it down, man.
So, but that's that. My code names are Gozie, Zeus, Gozman. What the other one? Did I miss any other
Zombie
one?
Zombie killer.
Zombie killer. 40. Zombie killer 48.
No, wild.
Exactly.
I completely agree. I completely agree. Like, I have had, you know, pretty much a similar sort of background as well. I think the only difference is I just did 1 year in boarding school. Luckily, the school I went to was sort of close to where I lived.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't that much of, you know, an inconvenience. It's like, I mean, technically, you can just enter a cab now and just come home. Or, you know, bad as it bad, if you just walk out, go house, right? You know, that situation. Mm-hmm. So it kind of just didn't make sense. It was during my final, I think, SS3, mm-hmm. that, you know, they were like, okay, yeah, let me just have that boarding school experience. So that was the only time I got to
entered boarding school as a senior.
Yes.
Know what you're saying?
Yes.
So you skipped junior. You didn't get slapped a bunch of times by some random niggas.
I didn't get accosted. Nothing. And bro, understand.
Because that's like a rite of passage.
It's a rite of passage.
Like that junior, you're just 1 to 3. That's the rite of passage because all you are experiencing then is outright bullying. This is how you learn how the Nigerian system works. Yeah. They're trying to teach you seniority. They're trying to teach you how to respect your elders.
Yep.
Yes, you understand. I mean, which is why we say the current generation, they don't understand respect.
Because bullying has been completely scrapped. That kind of bullying where it's like, you can't dispute the command.
Military style.
Military style, literally.
Bullying then. Bullying is online. It's cyber bullying. No, back then it was in your... It's violent. It literally, you know how they tell you that violence is the most effective method of getting anything done. So bullying back then was violent. It's not about what bullying is now, where somebody's trying to taint your image. No. Then you walk upright, your senior tells you to do something, you don't do it. You're getting beat in different ways. Like in pain. You inflict enough pain into the student that he understands. So fear and respect, they go in pari passu. That's the way they believe what it is. So for you to respect me, you have to fear me. The current generation, they don't fear you, even though they respect you. They don't fear you.
No, they don't fear you.
You understand? So and that's why it can sometimes it looks disrespectful.
It's like no. I actually do respect you, and I can see it. Actually, this is a very brilliant point you just raised. I can kind of see it. It's like, but I respect you. But why do you want me to fear you?
Why do you want me to fear you? Yeah, they don't understand.
That's
why.
One of the things. Like, the fear is not necessary. I actually respect you, but I don't need to fear you. It's not necessary. But I think some of the OGs are still looking for that fear.
Yeah, like, looking for the fears. The respect and fears go hand in hand. So you can't say you respect me if you don't fear me. Mm. Wow. It's weird. Wow.
Crazy.
It's wild. But crazy. The millennials are in between. We understand.
We understand how
to respect without fearing the person. You understand? You know, your countenance, your demeanor, you understand? We can tell that, okay, this is respect, not fear. We can tell. And we understand it. But when I'm talking to my elders, I know how to behave myself so that it's not just respect. They look at it like, oh, okay, this person. They see the respect and it is what they understand. But with the younger generation, you can see them trying to respect these elders. But in the process of trying to respect them, they're disrespecting them.
Yeah,
I'm like, what 100%, the fuck?
100%. I guess what you categorize or you consider disrespect as well. I remember growing up, there were times I want to have conversations because I was also in a situation where the people I was hanging around were always older than me, which is really how I recommend. That is how everybody should
yeah.
grow up.
Yeah.
You know, why are you hanging around with your peers? Find elders, at least 2 years, 3 years older than you. You know, I was blessed to have two older brothers and a younger sister. Okay, I was learning from their experience. I was learning from their experience most times. Most of the people I hang out with, older than me, more experienced than me. So automatically, you're just seeing the world differently. You're not seeing it through the lens of your peers, right? You know, but I remember because I was always hanging around with older people. When I wanted to talk to them, I remember it was a big thing back then. You couldn't look at them in the eye.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Do you
my leash, bro? What are you talking about? Your head has to be tilted down just slightly a bit.
Exactly. I was so weird
about talking to them.
Exactly. I was like, but I thought. I mean, I thought we were just having a conversation. I thought, look, staring at you, that's a normal thing. Just me staring at you, we're talking. You know, that's a human. Say, no, man, apparently you know if you look there for eyes.
Yes, now, what are you talking about? It's not even about that. The thing is, when you want to even speak back then, you have to be prepared that what you're about to say will not be accepted. It will not be respected. Like, you'd say something and everybody just laugh at you. It doesn't matter whether what you said made sense. You have to accept that fact.
Yeah.
That this thing I'm about to say, you know,
might fall on deaf ears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you say something and just look at what do you know? But I understand why you're thinking about. But understand, the reason they make joke about it is because they can see the fear and the respect in how you're trying to speak, and they're like, let's just play with him a bit. Mm-hmm. They hear you, but they have to make you understand that, you know, this is.
Yes, they have to make you understand that you don't understand.
You don't understand anything.
Because what I can see sitting down,
even if you climb to the top of a building,
you understand?
You still can't see.
You still can't see it. They have to let you know.
They have to let
even
you know.
If you're right, and they're going to steal your idea right after this conversation,
and then you know, once it starts to happen back then, you know, and you just keep quiet. Yeah. The new generation, they tell you something, and they want you to accept their own views.
No. They want to feel heard.
They want to feel heard.
Like, they want to be. You must get my point. You don't understand. If I read the book, so you understand me. See the books you need to read, so you understand what I'm talking about. You must understand me by force. No. Okay, so that's what. So for me, I was born in Hammersmith, West London. Oh, so there was a
when I said Lagos, you were taking Uyo Ewere or something.
No. Now the only reason this happened is apparently there was a complication. You know, during that I think that final trimester, right? I don't know. I think my soul.
You.
It wasn't.
You were too eager to get
green.
Out into the world. You were too eager to get out into the world.
Well, not in the location I was at, because apparently once they just carry me go UK. I just appeared. They say, what? Are you sure this was a complicated? No. They said the boy was happy to come out. You understand? But apparently while I was in Lagos, there was something. They say, man, the doctors couldn't quite figure it out.
The rashness was too much.
No, there's something off here. There's something off, you understand? So because of that complication, you know.
People should get complications in their birth, so they can't.
I'm dead. No, okay. Well, after this, I think all my schooling was in pretty much Abuja, all right? From primary school all the way up to secondary school, you know, before I finally went to Adamawa State Yola, you know, for my university.
And everything. Man, that's mega. Yeah. Okay, no, AUN. I thought, okay, AUN is fresh school. I was thinking at some point, I was thinking maybe you see, you ahead Maiduguri. I'm like, wait, so you were born in London?
No. And then I went to Maiduguri. That's the training. That's the training, bro. That's the programming, bro. As in, you understand? You have to see both sides. Yeah. You know, so I made team balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, my brothers really showed me a lot. You know, in terms of, these are the mistakes I made. Try not to make these mistakes, right? So that was another level. So those were kind of the levels. It was like, okay. So just don't do this. And funny enough, I remember growing up, bro, I don't even think we were allowed to talk to girls.
No, definitely.
This was another thing. So that was another thing. That was another way they programmed me. It was like, talking to females out of bounds. What the hell are you doing? Even back in school, bro. Females had a separate line, you know, back when we were doing assembly, females had their own line, boys had their own line. So that was kind of the orientation. That was kind of the mindset. It's like, listen, just stay away from these women. Okay. Just stay away from these women until it's time.
Honestly.
I don't know what time. I don't know because now I'm all grown, still single. So I'm not sure what exactly we're waiting for.
Honestly, I think they were just protecting the girls. Initially, I used to try and understand why that was, but because as a guy, you can't understand why, but put yourself in the shoes of a female. I think that was just about protecting the protecting females. Like, well, the older you get, you start to understand why these men were making these decisions.
Okay.
Yeah, this man, yeah. You know, when you're much younger, you don't understand. You hear about co-ed, you know, co-ed
dormitories
in other schools and every you know, and everybody. In Nigeria here, what? Guys' dormitories here, the female dorm is another 5 kilometers away.
We're too dangerous. My keep these people away from each other.
Like, what is this?
Dangerous because...
I was not... It's the fact that it was normal back there. Like, you didn't expect... Like, you weren't expecting a female within the nearest kilometer around you. Like, you get... So, you know, but all you just do is just building up.
Exactly.
You're building it up.
You're creating, I'm telling you, because all those unmet needs, when they start to manifest, you understand?
And our parents don't understand that that was what happened to them, and that's why they did a lot of weird shit. That's why they did a lot of weird shit. And now they're expecting that we're going to do the same weird shit that they did.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you guys are just repeating the cycle that is going to still lead us to doing all that weird shit.
Yeah,
so you need to change. But, you know, like, things have changed now. I mean, now you see, you don't even understand. As in, when I look at what boarding house was back then and now, I can understand. Now I go to boarding house and people are entering boarding house, that's secondary school, colleges, are entering it at the age of like...
16. That's university.
I'm not even talking about
uni. Okay,
I'm talking about college. I'm not even talking about uni. I'm talking about like high school, you know. So because you know now it's like junior secondary, it's like high school, and then you know this how they've messed up the education system now. It's not like it was back then, but back then people were entering. Like, I was one of the, like me, I told you I entered around 8, 9, so that's now the norm now. Like, people are entering high school at that, around that kind of age. Back then, like I said, when I was in school, my mates were 15, 16 years old. So you can imagine how old, and this is just one, you can imagine how old my seniors were, that's my people in SS2, SS3. They were in their 20, 23, 24. Now you'd understand why they have to keep them away from the girls. They have to keep them away from the female students. Because I'm like, what are you saying?
These aren't kids.
These aren't kids anymore. Like, these are fully grown. Because in third world countries, guy, people, education is not easy like that, you know. It's not like you just, it's not free. So like back then, not like I said, not now, pre-millennial era and baby boomer era. People, that's why they call them baby boomers now. Many of them started doing shit late. So many of them were in school, in high school, 20-something in high school. Didn't get to university till like 30-something.
Exactly.
So they had to separate these females now, because you want to know what 24-year-old, a gang of 24-year-old boys are going to be doing.
There are people. There are people
literally who just went to school to find wives.
Yeah, to find wives.
That's my purpose. You say, listen, there are a bunch of, just send them. You'll find your wife inside
somewhere. So, that's why I said it's for the safety of these females. But at the end of the day now, you're not even looking at what's happening now in high school with these young kids now. And you're like, was it even any better? Because what these people are doing right now.
Yep.
That's it. Like, yo.
Yeah.
You know what?
Leave it.
Yeah, just leave it at that.
Now, outside of all of this, what would you say, and I'm going to be asking everybody this question throughout this year, what is your superpower?
My superpower?
Gozie, Zeus, zombie killer.
My superpower. Wow,
is your superpower?
Are you saying what superpower would I like to have?
No.
I mean, it's obvious I don't have a superpower.
No. I thought about this. Mm-hmm. I thought about this.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And honestly, bro, when I realize how much, especially when you hear people's backstories and the reasons they do what they do, like when you hear like what they're carrying, you realize that everybody's a superhero. Everybody's a superhero. Yeah, when you hear somebody's story, when you hear, you know, okay, no, this is the reason why I'm in this space. You know, I've been doing this for without taking any credit, without asking for accolades, without doing this. Like, bro, you find out that, no, everybody's a superhero in their own way. Like, when you see what people do in their place of work, right? You realize, this guy's a superhero, especially how Nigeria, works.
Just so I can understand.
What is that unique?
What's your own superpower?
What is that unique thing that you bring to the world that nobody can quite do? The way you do.
Oh my God.
That's really what I know. It's a difficult one,
no,
right?
You answer no.
So for me, it's simple. For me, it's simple. I am an entertainer.
I
love to entertain. It comes so naturally. Like, I can just make you laugh.
True.
I can just make you laugh. Just like, true. Laugh, goddammit. Laugh. See, you're laughing.
That's a bad superpower to have, though.
Laugh.
In this time, yeah.
And I discovered this early on. It's like, oh, wow.
I'm the laugh guy. I can just make you laugh. There are people that ask me, it's like, bro, I've never seen you frown.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen you frown. What's up with that? I was like, I don't know. I don't know why. Is this, am I laugh man? Huh. Maybe I'll just do a cape.
Yeah, I'm thinking now. You know, what is that thing that?
What is that unique? What is that unique
okay,
thing? And this is something that came naturally as well. Yeah. It's not like I was actively trying. Yeah, I just found myself in that space where everybody was kind of coming to me for laughs.
Oh, man.
You know, so it's like, oh wow, okay, I'm that guy now. I guess.
I think I may have an actual superpower. Like, this is an actual one.
Let's go, baby. Let's hear it.
But before I say this, I'll tell you what I think my superpower is. I can bullshit my way out of any situation.
Say, listen. I know the speeding ticket. I know the speeding. I know it feels like I was driving really fast.
Exactly. But... So I'm a complete bullshitter. So now that I know what I think, that's what I think my superpower is. No, that's what I did. So now, what I think is my actual superpower is that I think I kind of just know how shit works. Which is why I'm a good bullshitter.
Nice.
Bullshit my way out of every situation.
Nice, nice. I see it. Bro, that will come in handy. Bro, you should have studied law at this point.
I did do an estate valua. So we did do land law in school. So I did do my fair share of law.
Okay.
You understand? Nice. So yeah.
Right.
I mean, people have always told me that, you know, like, you're like, you know, why didn't I study law? Because I kind of know a little bit of a lot of things.
Yeah. Again, but based on the program, being around people that are older than you, yeah, just being in a country like Nigeria, you have to be multi-talented. If you want to just do one thing in this place, you, in fact, gotta read our manual on how to walk in Nigeria. Gotta watch that episode. We gave you guys the manual of how to operate here.
I never actually thought about it. This superpower thing.
Because I was just sitting around thinking about it. I'm like, man, because I've heard some crazy wild stories, and I'm like, man, this. Guys are out here just head down, grinding. Bro, it doesn't even matter. I'm talking about even the people that grab your garbage. Grab to the garbage collectors, bro. Like, I see some of those guys. I'm like, your security guard. Your security guards, bro. When you can really put yourself in their shoes and really say, man, wait, this guy, they do this thing every day.
Yes, no.
You understand? And especially when you have kids, especially when these guys have kids, and you're like, man, this guy's just
they're complaining like, with your 900k allowance salary every month, but this guy has any 30k and he's training for children.
And he's training for children, and you wonder, like, man, wait, people get superpowers, as in, he has superpowers up here. God.
So yeah,
outside of making people laugh, I also do a bit of magic. Card magic. This is a unique talent I developed, you know, over time, and I dance as well. So these are entertainment. All of them fall under the umbrella, right? You know, also into tech, love tech. Oh my god, like everything tech just excites me. I'm not sure why.
My age of technology is exciting. It's exciting for everyone. It's exciting for everyone.
So it's wild. I mean, this is a question I'm going to be thinking about throughout the year. What is your superpower? What is that unique thing? You know, especially for you guys listening, think about that unique thing only you can do, and nobody else can quite do it.
But
the
what
way
are the categories we're looking at here? Just from the people we've met and, you know, life, what are the other like categories you can call and say, okay, look, you can be this. You know, say you're an entertainer. Mm. You know, maybe there are people that are just. Good at fixing stuff. I don't know, man.
Yeah. No. So I've seen.
Some people are nice guys. You know, it's a super nice guys. So that's like a superpower.
Is that a superpower? You're like a super nice guy. Is being nice a superpower? That's the question. Is being nice a superpower?
Being nice or being very self-righteous.
Self-righteousness.
I don't know, man. I was thinking about it.
Great sacrifice.
Yeah.
I think because that is in every hero's arc. Superheroes.
Righteousness.
Great sacrifice and righteousness.
I sure mine is no more of a villain power. Because I'm a bullshit. I mean, it might not be a superhero power.
What is your super villain power? I think I might have asked the question wrong. I'm so sorry, guys. What is your super villain power? Let's start over.
I mean, when there are people that just their villains. What they do cannot be considered a superhero ability. It has to be a supervillain ability.
So
I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, no. Imagine fuck boys or Yoruba demons. You can't call those that because that's a superpower too.
Yeah.
Like, you can't call that the superhero power.
I'm dead. Say, you just say, I just know how to talk to girls.
I know how to talk to girls.
And win them over. You know, it's like, okay. I mean, how do you practice the superpower? How many females have you practiced have you the practiced superpower? This on? You know, I mean, being a playboy is not, there's nothing special about being a playboy.
What?
Right?
What's yeah. not?
What unless
with the way people are rating your race game now, what are you talking about? Playboys are.
Yeah, they're thing now. Wow.
I mean, yes. like, yeah. I mean,
wild.
I mean, yeah, people, like, before toasting a babe, you know, it had always been an acquired skill.
Mm.
You understand? But over the years, you find some people that have it natural, that are talented like that naturally. They just know how to talk to people. They just know how to, you know, they just know how to, they have that charisma.
It's based on their programming.
Yeah, they have that charisma.
I said, some of us went allowed near females. So until we were like 25.
That's why I said during our time, it was an acquired skill. Like, if you were talking to girls, it means you had to have trained yourself how to do that. So it was an acquired skill.
So that's why it was cool.
It was cool.
Like, oh, wow, that guy's talking to a girl. He has superpowers. Oh, my God. Look at that.
Yes, superpowers. Yeah. But
I'm so happy these Gen Alphas will never understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, they.
You guys would never get to experience this. I mean, you'd be very happy.
Yeah.
You would never get to experience this.
So, yeah. So that's why I look at it as not as, okay, it will count as a superpower. It's not easy. Guy, what are you talking about? To walk up to a female, raise the up, get her number. Guy has a superpower, bro. Wow.
Wait, she gave you her number? God damn, man. That's crazy.
All right.
Now, segue into the main topic of the day. Why do you think, Ba, as some individuals feel the need to sort of one-up each other in terms of personal struggles? Like, in terms of, say, man, me don't suffer pass for this life.
Oh.
You understand? Like, it'd be like it's a competition. You say, guy! See that thing? Wait, you say, man, you know how I grew up. I mean, it's a Niger thing.
Oh my goodness, guy. First of all, maybe it happens in other places, but it's only Nigeria I've seen that shit happen. Nigerians like to revel in suffering.
Nami suffer pass.
I've asked myself this question a bunch of times because I only notice it with Nigerians. It's only Nigerians where, you know, like, let's take the recent fuel increase, you understand, the increase in fuel price, you understand, instead of them to revolt and protest and, you know, the labor union or whatever body's responsible for protecting, you know, workers and, you know, the workforce, instead of them to, you know, like, do something, you know, sensible, what you have is regular citizens and Nigerians adapting to that new situation. So what happened is, so they increased the fuel price. It's now harder to get fuel. What happens during the first month or two of the fuel increment is fuel is going to be scarce because of hoarding and stuff like that in the days leading up to the increment and everything. So queues are like ridiculously large, like, you know, it's high.
Yeah.
You have like, so in fact, what are you talking about? People parked their cars in the Philly station.
Yeah.
And from the morning.
Morning.
And go to work. And when they come back, when they finally buy fuel, you see Nigerians bragging about it. They're like, guy, do you know how many hours I stayed in the Philly station to get this fuel? I'm like, dude, that's the problem. The fact that you think it's okay to go and spend 6 hours in the queue. Like, this is what the union is for. So the union is like, okay, this thing is difficult. And tell everybody, stay at home, this. And then you guys will speak with one voice. No, but Nigerians would rather wake up by 3 a.m. in the morning, go and be in the queue so that they can get 4 by 8 to make it to work by 8:30 and brag to their mates that they suffered, that didn't get any sleep the night before. No. I'm like, what is this?
No, see, bro, I swear, I feel it's Lagos people that are just next level. See, man, see, guy, I wake up 4 a.m., right? Start to go office, reach office by 7.
Mm.
I close by maybe 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I enter another round of traffic, right? I get back home. Like, the traffic is so bad. It's so intense.
Yeah.
Like, I get back home around probably like 12:01, you know? I now eat food, you know, do all the things I need to do, talk to my wife, see my kids.
Yeah.
And by 4 o'clock, which is 3 hours of sleep, I wake up again. And I'm back. I'm going back to work. That's my cycle from Monday to Saturday.
No, make us
my nigga, don't play with me, man.
They have mental illness.
No, but why is it that? No, like, I can understand hustling, right? And, you know, building that resilience.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand it, right? So when things get better, all of a sudden, you're just that much more efficient. Like, you shine more. Like, it's just why Nigerians shine when they leave the country.
Yeah,
it's like there's so much hardship in the country. Yeah, you're doing 100 people's jobs. All of a sudden, when you go out and you're in a system that actually works, you're like, wow, this guy's super effective, right? You know, but then it's the people that, as in, they want to let you know that they have suffered more than you.
Yeah.
Like, those are the people that I don't really understand. See, guy.
Listen, man.
I've been grinding, okay? So respect me.
Honestly, people with that kind of mentality, of, you know, trying to revel in that hardship and every that, take pride in. I feel like that's where it ends for them. That's where it stops for them. I look at it at times, I'm like, look, first of all, you know, white collar jobs is like slavery, where you have to, like, you know, you at the end of the day, you're just doing that. People have other goals. People have other things you're doing. And this is just something to put food on your table and stuff. So, you know, because you need money to survive. So you're just doing that. But you have, like, your main goal, your main career, your purpose in life. And you're doing, you understand? So that is just something to help you along your way while you're trying to figure out what you actually want to do and where you want to head to. A lot of people that do this thing, this sort of thing, they have that job they're doing, that's all.
That's it.
So that's why they have to brag about their suffering, because they don't have anything else that they're aiming towards that you would brag about eventually. Mm. If you're doing all of this because at the end of the day you would finally get somewhere, and then you brag about the struggles you had to put through to get here, that's fine. But if your end goal is to brag about the fact that
Nami suffer pass. So.
And that's majority of Nigerians for you.
Goddamn.
That's majority of Nigerians for you. And that's why our leaders and, you know, our people in government, that's why they take us for a ride. Because they know that whatever it is, we'll swallow it up. We want to turn it to
a story
that we can use to brag. See, remember that period? It's us now. Even us doing it. Bragging about our college experience. They know that Nigerians like to revel in suffering now. So they're like, hey, just turn it up a notch. They'll adjust.
Yeah, true.
So, but I don't really get it too. But it's something I think is unique to Nigerians. Mm. Yeah, I don't think I see it with other people. It's unique to Nigerians.
No. Okay, no, but it is actually wild. I think society too sort of demands that of you. Like, I'll take for example, when you go for a job, you see entry level data entry clerk or entry level data analyst, or, you know, entry level business. You see all these entry level roles. When you go for the interview, or, you know, when you read the requirements, they're not telling you we need 10 years of experience.
God, that was hilarious.
We need this. And guy, you're not entry level. Nobody entry level
that they apply for. Why do you need to have 4 years experience already?
That's what I'm saying. So that's the proof. You need the proof that the proof of work has to be there. Even look at Bitcoin. The consensus mechanism they use is like there has to be proof.
Yeah.
Before we do
anything. You have experience. So
look at 50 Cent. Look at 50 Cent, for example. I feel when 50 Cent came out, his backstory was so good. He had the proof.
He had proof of being a gangster. He's like, I have my badge of gangsterism.
No, I got shot nine times.
Got shot 9 times.
Understand? Anybody is like, bro, I grew up in the streets. I was sleeping on the streets. But that guy got shot nine times. He said, no, but I don't even sleep with the pillowcase. I literally, I'm on the ground. Like, I'm on the ground sleeping. I eat once a week, my nigga. But that guy got shot 9 times. So it really does feel
Have you been shot even once?
They don't shoot you. They don't shoot you before, bros. They never shoot you before. Keep quiet. This guy, they talk. Don't make noise for where this guy did. But it's crazy. It's just a crazy thing. Let us know what you guys think. Is it actually necessary to make it a competition? Or can we just have the empathy to understand where people are coming from without actually, you know, turning it into this tug of war of who has been traumatized more? You know, let us know what you guys think. I don't know. That's it for me for this episode.
Yeah. That's fine. I think when you just said something, like, I think for other people, you said Nigerians, us is like, who suffer more? I think in other countries, it's who has more mental illness.
I think that's
what it is for other countries.
I have ADHD. I can't sleep. I have anxiety. You can't be giving me all these tests. But we're giving everybody the test. We're not singling you out. Everybody's getting tested.
It's how many mental illnesses do you have?
So we'll know how to handle you with kid gloves.
Guy, but that's it for me, bro.
That's it for me, guys.
I can't even handle this shit.
So what you guys think?
Peace out.